That smooth Christian jazz you're hearing means you've tuned in to Same Old Song, the lectionary podcast of Mockingbird Ministries. I'm your co-host, Aaron Zimmerman. I'll be joined by Jacob Smith as each week we break down the lectionary readings for the upcoming Sunday to give you something to think about, and if you're a preacher, to give you something to preach about, and no matter who you are, to give you a connection to the never-changing message of God's grace for actual people like you. Unzip that monogrammed faux leather Bible carrying case and cover, pull up a chair, and let's dig in.
You know that video clip that kind of went viral? I'm a snake. I'm a slithery snake.
Not me.
Well, my high school student showed it to me. This guy is so, you know, internet famous that on that website Cameo, you can pay him to record a video, a birthday greeting or whatever. I seriously considered it getting as a Christmas present for one of my children. Yeah, it's just a really silly little short video of a guy wearing a snake hat, just a hat that sort of looks like a snake. And he's just is just goofing around at home. I'm a snake. And it just caught the mind of the teens, you know, who knows why. It's a thing. But when I think about this Numbers passage and this John 3 passage, that's what comes to mind. This guy going like, I'm a snake. Look at the snake. But anyways, before we get into the text with this really, you know, edifying conversation, Jake, how are you?
I'm doing well. Every day is a new day here at Calvary St. George's, and trusting that God has brought me here and God will save me. So
God's mercies are new every morning.
That's right. And so I'm looking at a snake. So
good for you. Jake and I are we're working on being healthy clergy with balanced lives for you listeners at home. So you can't see us, but we look amazing. We're both wearing collars today.
I do feel a little fresh.
You look fresh. You look sort of like glowy, like Moses
combed.
Coming down from the from the mountain. You know, put on the
that's
veil.
That's the lamp. That's the lamp on the desk. It's turned on. So, but
you look good.
I'm good.
Keep it up. Keep it up. Well,
just bring for another day, and then it's off. Then it's back to despair. Just kidding.
Then it's back to just eating the whole bowl of Doritos at one sitting. Okay, let's get into it. We got now on the we're deep into the Lenten season now. We're at the fourth Sunday in Lent. In Waco, that'll mean people are coming back from spring break. I don't know what it means in New York. I think your spring break is in like July or something. But
yeah, who knows? We actually go to a spring break that next week. And so a lot of kids have either the week before or during Holy Week off. So, you know.
It's also going to be, Fourth Sunday Lent will be just a few days before that great test of everybody's Lenten discipline known as St. Patrick's Day. So that'll be fun for folks. But for now, we're in Fourth Sunday. We're looking at Numbers 21, the story of snakes in the desert. Then we look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And then the passage from John 3, which is a little bit of that conversation with Nicodemus. You get the famous football verse, John 3, 16. But a whole larger conversation that can, I love these readings because they so tie together so well. The number story gives us the background for the John passage and what Jesus says there. So, so let's get into it. So we begin, we begin with Numbers 21. There is the, story of the Israelites who are in the desert. They've gotten out of Egypt and they are angry. There are people who are looking back at the past. You know that Bruce Springsteen song, Glory Days, like looking back at how it was so perfect way back then. And that's what's happening here. They are in the wilderness. God has brought them out of slavery in Egypt. They have been freed miraculously. And they basically say, you've brought us here to die. And it's this perfect, to me, encapsulation of what it is to be a human sinner. They say, there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. So it's like, no, there actually is food. We just don't like the food that we have. It's sort of like when you serve dinner to your children and like, I don't want to eat this. And they, you know, give me the chicken nuggets. It's not that you, when your kid goes to the fridge and says there's nothing to eat, it's not that there's nothing to eat. There's nothing that they want. And that's what a human being is often, is someone who's surrounded by amazing things, but I want what I want. I don't want to appreciate the stuff that God has given me. So
they have this attitude. They're complaining against God. God, you've brought us out to here to die. We don't care that we have seen your miraculous works with our own eyes. We don't care that you're providing this miracle food every morning that appears on the ground, manna. We don't care. We want what we want. And because my life doesn't look like I want it, I'm mad at you. And the result here is these poisonous serpents appear and they bite people and people die. And then Moses goes to God and on behalf of the people confesses these sins. And Moses prays and God's instructions are odd and interesting. Make a sculpture of a snake and put it on a pole. And then the people who've been bitten have to look at it. And if they look at it, they'll live. So this is where we get the image in the, for the, you know, that thing for doctors, that medical sign of a pole with those snakes wrapped around it. That's where this comes from because it's associated with healing. But what is going on here? What is this deal with making sculptures and looking at them and living? Jake, what do you say about this? What say you?
There's a lot going on here. As you said, the people are longing for, if you read the book of Exodus, for the flesh pots of Egypt. That's what they say in Exodus. Oh, how we longed for the days when we had the flesh pots. And so, which is kind of a, well, it's a makeup from Mac that sells at about $14.99.
Burrito Supreme.
That's right. No, but I think what your hit on that is absolutely right. The Bruce Springsteen song, Glory Days. We're always looking back, and who hasn't done that? You know, I mean, maybe you're a pastor and you're looking back at, like, you know, you're just finishing your parochial reports and you were like, God, those were the days in 2022. You know what I mean? And so I know as a New York rector, sometimes I look at those and I'm like, man, those were the days before 2020 hit us and everybody moved. You know, those were the glory days. And so, you know, when you think about those things and you really realize that, man, there were troubles then. And sometimes we can get so consumed with our issues, and there's going to be people out there in your congregation that are going to be dealing with real issues that they you can forget that God is actually at work in the midst of today. And, you know, and he's the one. I mean, you think about it. He brought them up out of Egypt. Pharaoh came in after them. And then, like, dude, they closed the Red Sea. He parted the sea for them. And then, you know, he's been providing manna and all these, like, quail. Who doesn't love quail? And, you know, and water and everything for them the whole time. And they're out there and he's delivering them and just been providing and providing and providing. But yet we forget. And that's the powerful thing, too, is that God provides for us and provides for us even still today with the assurance of the gospel. He never promises us an easy life. He never promises us that things are going to work out the way we thought they would. But he does promise that our sins are forgiven. He does promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he does promise that he will deliver us from death, the clutches of death. And how does he promise it? Well, he promises this to us in a crucified Nazarene. And this is not in fireworks, not in something mighty and extravagant, but in a crucified Nazarene. And this becomes the point of the lifting up of the snake on a stick, is the very thing that I thought, I mean, as St. Paul writes, that which I thought would bring me life, aka fulfilling the law, has actually been the very thing that brought me death. You know, the glory days, actually continuing to run after them, will ultimately bring death. And so the very thing, though, that we thought would bring us death is the thing that brings us life. And so this is why Moses, functioning as a new Jesus, as a type of Jesus, as a mediator and an advocate for the people of Israel, he lifts up that serpent and he's told, have them gaze upon it. And so when we lift up that bread and that wine, you know, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, well, there's where we find where the balm of Gilead actually is. That's where we find the medicine for the soul to assure us that the glory days will not have the final say. There is an age to come.
Yeah, to heal the sin-sick soul. Well, this thing of looking at the snake, it's basically saying, like, take the consequences of the people. The snakes, to me, sort of, you know, snakes appear several times in the scriptures. And we have, obviously, that Garden of Eden appearance. We have this appearance. We have the appearance with the snake in the with Paul sticks his hand in a fire and gets bitten. So there's all snakes are not good. And in the scriptures. And here the snake is showing up, and they represent kind of this attitude among the people. They are spiritually sick and poisoned, and here the snakes, these poisonous serpents, like are kind of a physical manifestation of what's going on spiritually with the people. And so when they realize they have sinned, the thing that God asked them to do is not just to kind of stop grumbling. It's look at the snake, look at this and live. And it's actually a pretty easy thing to do, to look at this snake on a pole and live.
They don't have a choice.
Right. And it's just, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's almost like you'd have to intentionally look away, but it's this thing of, come look at reality. Like, instead of the illusion of what Egypt used to be and how good we had it back then, these illusions that you have, the stories you tell about God, God's not here to help us. God's brought us out here to drop us on our head. God is, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop. All these illusions that people, and God is saying, no, look at reality. Like, look at this snake. Or make it out of bronze. I mean, it's interesting. A culture of people that has a prohibition of graven images, God says here, make a sculpture and look at this thing. Like, confront the consequences of your actions. Look directly at it. And I think there's something here about in order to receive the treatment, in order to receive the medicine, you have to properly diagnose and grapple with reality. So many times when people have a real crisis in their life, most of their energy is spent on denying that reality as opposed to really looking at what's going on. If you want to see an example of this, Nicole Kidman's character in the current series, Expats, I believe on Amazon right now, she's dealt with her young son has been kidnapped, and she is in complete denial about the reality of that situation, so much so that she causes all this dysfunction in her family. She will not basically allow anyone to, if she won't let anybody challenge that denial. She refuses to look at reality. And I think there's so many places in life where it's like that. So here's, it's sort of look at reality, look at your sin. I mean, it's kind of the first step in AA, like, to acknowledge our lives have become unmanageable and we're powerless to change it. Like, come into the light of reality. And this idea of coming into the light is absolutely going to be something that Jesus talks about in John 3, which we'll get to at the end. But this passage, sort of look at reality, is something that Lent is designed to help us do. Through the liturgy, through the season, through our failures in Lent, all those sorts of things. Like I said, St. Patrick's Day is coming right in the middle of Lent, just as like a divine joke. So you'll realize not that you are strong, but you are weak. And so look at the snake and live. So Ephesians does that again. St. Paul, writing to this church in Ephesus, he begins with a nice softball. You were dead through trespasses and sins. Again, look at the snake, like, confront reality, come into the light, not into the world where everything's sort of fake. There's this wonderful sketch from SNL, Jake. We were treated to this on a text thread in which you and I participate, and it was this. Then it's a game show on SNL called Why Did You Say That? And basically, the game show host reads things, comments that the contestants have commented on Instagram posts, and then asks the question, "Why did you say that?" And all these people are confronted with the terrible things they say, and they have all these excuses of why they say it, and none of them want to come to reality, which is the loneliness, isolation, judgmentalness, anger, all the stuff in their lives that they're in denial about. So again, Paul gets at it pretty quickly. You were dead through trespasses and sins in which you once lived. And he doesn't say, and then you turned your life around. He says, but then God has made you alive with Christ. You by grace you've been saved. So beautiful, preachable passage. So eminently preachable. You know, I hate even to ask you, Jake, but if you had to preach this passage, what would you say?
Well, there's a lot of things you can say, but I think it's really interesting that Paul has to, like, hammer this home not once but twice. It is by grace that you have been saved. And I think that is just like we have an inclination to look back towards the glory days. We have an inclination to look at what we're doing for God, you know, and the point that Paul is making here is that before you did anything, you actually were dead. And this is why, you know, when they looked up at the snake, I mean, there's no choice. That it's dead or look at the snake, you know? And in this case, it's you were dead. But there's a reason why, and this is because I think a lot of people have this idea, you know, they don't understand grace either, and they still like, you know, okay, grace, but they have this view that like God is somehow still kind of angry with us, and that Jesus kind of, okay, I guess Jesus did it. You know what I mean? So I'll kind of endure you. And Paul right here like dispels this idea completely when he says, you know, he speaks of this idea, you who followed the courses of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air and the spirit and the, that is now at work among those who are disobedient. And so he really, one, Paul like puts this in a spiritual context. You know what I mean? And we think it's just all physical, but there is a veil and there is something spiritual actually happening. This is one of the things that I'm really being reminded of afresh. I'm teaching on the book of Revelation right now in the congregation. And I mean, this is an image, what St. John is painting is an image of earthly realities, but from a spiritual perspective. And so, but the fact of the matter is that we have been set following the desires of our own hearts. We become children of wrath. Like everyone else. But this is the point, is that it's not God sitting up in heaven going, you know, I guess I'll take you because Jesus was so good. That's not the point. It's that God actually is rich in mercy. And out of his great love, I mean, with which he loved us, even when we were dead, and not dead because he didn't like us, but dead through our own trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And I think that that's something, if I was to really preach on, was like, the immeasurable and love that God, because people need to know this in Lent, especially when they're looking, when you're looking back at the glory days, that's the fact that they become a bit of an idol. You know, when you're looking back at the glory days, you've forgotten that actually God is for you in the present. And this is something that people need to be reminded of, is that God is rich in mercy towards you. And out of great love for you, he actually has brought you to life.
Yeah.
You who were dead, and it's not sort of like you were having a bad hair day. You who were dead in your trespasses, he's actually stepped in to save you and give you a totally new life. And that is completely, that revolutionizes everything. We have a really, our daughter's best friend's dad had cancer for a number of years. And, he has recently gone into remission and is, you know, I mean, basically, he's in remission and is making a full recovery. But before that, he was like a crazy workaholic, insane banker. You know what I mean? And all the time, go, go, go. And I think on one level, this is what kind of made him ill. I mean, that's I'm not Dr. Jake, but, you know. But it has been amazing to see the transformation that has occurred in this man who was diagnosed as good as dead, you know what I mean? Has been given a new life. And this is the amazing thing that we have as Christians, is that you and I have been given a new life in Jesus. It's by grace that you have been saved through faith, but it's not full stop. And this is one of my favorite lines from MXPX, you know, that's how I memorized this passage. Ephesians 2:8 states that God doesn't save by works, but by grace, Anyway, but there's a purpose for it. And the purpose is that we might now walk in the good works which he has prepared for us already to walk in. And I see this happening in this man's life as there's a new focus and a new shift from himself and his job to now his children. You know what I mean? There's a new and an amazing haircut. But and there's like a new focus, you know, on all these things. And so, but this is God's loving kindness by the power of the Holy Spirit rescues us from death to give us a new focus on what life is actually all about. And that's about our neighbor walking in those good works, which he's already prepared for us to walk in.
That's right. And by the way, as you just now emphasized, Jake, this is in the post-communion prayer in the Rite One service of the Book of Common Prayer. So Episcopal clergy, if you don't have Rite One for the fourth Sunday in Lent, you may consider putting it in there, because it's, you can really talk about Ephesians 2:10, which in the NRSV, the translation most of us will read, it says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Crappy translation, no offense, translators. I mean, I guess it gets at it, but you kind of miss one of the key parts. In the Greek, it says,
we are God's workmanship. He's made these good works, which God prepared in advance for us to peripatesomen. So peri means around, pateo is to walk. So to walk around, and it's in the first person plural. So we peripatesomen, we walk around in these things. These God has prepared all these good works. They're just kind of around us. And we just walk around on them. It's not like, how do I be a good person to make God happy today? It's like, no, you're already saved through grace. God has prepared all these things to walk around. And I think, you know, sometimes in those futuristic sci-fi movies or superhero movies, the way they put their super suits on, they just like go into a booth and push a button and or they like kind of step into it and this machine dresses them. It's almost like that. Like God has prepared all these things in advance and they just you walk around in them that you,
amen.
And Cranmer, who knew his Greek.
And he knew his superheroes.
Yes. And he was super big into the MCU. He has Ephesians 2 in mind when he says, Heavenly Father, assist us with thy grace. Again, because it's all about we've been saved through grace, that we may continue in the holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. It's a direct translation from the Greek into English in this right one post-communion prayer so that you go out in peace. That's the next thing the priest says, peace of God. Keep your hearts and minds in knowledge and love of God. So this is just a great verse, and there's a liturgical connection with our liturgy in the prayer book, which makes it so clear. And it's the opposite of the way Christianity is often presented, like God saved you by grace. I mean, they get that much from this passage, but then it's like, now don't get crazy. Like, you know, don't lose it. Don't drop it.
Because you're still on thin ice.
Yeah,
you're still on thin ice.
Which is not that at all. So, so this is fantastic. So look at reality. You were dead in your sins, but now you've been made alive because you looked at the snake. And now you walk around in these good works that God has already prepared for you to walk in. You don't have to try super hard. They're just there. So turning now to our final passage for Lent 4, John chapter 3, 14 through 21, part of the extended conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, the Pharisee, at nighttime, because Nicodemus doesn't want to be seen approaching this controversial new young rabbi. And this is part of the conversation about having to be born again. And Nicodemus says, how does this happen? And so Jesus uses this illustration from the passage that we read from Numbers, this looking at the snake that Moses lifted up. And Jesus says, that snake is me. You have to look at me as I am lifted up on the cross. Obviously, he's speaking prophetically because that hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. And then Jesus has that most famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then my favorite, 3:17, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So it is this looking at Jesus is like looking at the bronze snake, in that looking at Jesus is looking at the reality of the human problem, the predicament of what it is to be human. We are sinful people who do things all the time that we wish we didn't do. And again, if you have any doubt about the inherent goodness of people or that people can just get better on their own, look at the history of people's internet searches. Look at what happens in preschool parking lots as parents of children like judge each other for their parenting methods. Look at all the things that happen in churches, the kind of vitriolic anger that comes out when the rector says, I'd like to move the service start time by 15 minutes. Like, rah! Like, there's all kind to say nothing about your own thought life at 3 a.m. Not you, Jake. I'm just talking to our listeners. You've moved on from that. But I think looking at the crucified God, Jesus Christ, is like looking at these snakes in the desert, in that it's confronting reality. The human problem of sin and death is so great that God has to die. But in looking at that, we then come into the light, and we, as Jesus says here, we do not perish but have eternal life. And we find that what Paul describes in Ephesians 2. So that's a whole lot for John 3. I'm going to catch my breath, Jake, and let you add kind of how you would approach this or some things you would draw out of this very famous, so famous maybe it's overly used, John 3 passage.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think the real emphasis is what you've just said, and that's what I would drive the plane home to. But I think it's also, I mean, it, just in the context of the sermon, maybe something you want to hit on is that the fact is that this is the judgment. You know what I mean? It's not that it's something that we've yet to do. Like, you know, there's some sort of neutrality, and that you know, we can either mess it up or not. This is the judgment. What Jesus actually in his coming to Israel, what Jesus reveals in his coming into the world is that actually our natural preference is darkness. You know, mm-hmm. we love the gossip. You know, Nadia Boetz-Weber once said, you know, like gossip and kind of these things, it's kind of like peeing your pants to stay warm in the winter. Mm. It feels great for a hot second, but then it gets real cold and stinky quick. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that we like, I mean, this is, I mean, I always, this always strikes me. People loved darkness rather mm-hmm. than light because their deeds were evil. And so this is what Jesus in here, like, I mean, this is what we've been talking about. He exposes this about us. And it's in the exposing this about us that we see our profound need for him. And this is why he is compared to the serpent in the wilderness, is because the very thing, as to bring it full circle, that we thought would bring us life is the thing that brought us death. And the thing that we thought would be bring us death, what do you mean, nothing to earn? What do you mean, my life is not my own? What do you mean, you know, I'm a creature? Well, gosh, that has brought me life, true life, and rescued me from death. And so I think that that's something to really, I think you can hit on, is that this light exposes who we actually are. And in exposing who we actually are, it exposes our profound need for something outside of us to save us. And then it reveals the antidote. It reveals the universal answer, which is Jesus Christ for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. God didn't send Christ in the world just to teach us some things and give us some tips and tricks.
Not to show the way, my friends, but to be the way.
That's right. And the problem,
Lord, I lift your name on high.
We so don't need advice. It's so bad that we need God to be crucified, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's actually how dire our need is.
Yeah, it just really gets it across. We don't need help. We need total and complete saving.
Rescue. If you want an example of this, look or listen to the Mockingcast, the most recent one where Dave and RJ and Sarah talk about, at the end of it, Michael J. Fox's life. And just really briefly, basically, he was like a very famous and very successful actor who had a secret problem with alcoholism. And it was actually his Parkinson's diagnosis that cracked open his life, got him sober, and got him to be sort of a real human again. And actually, in a weird sense, saved his life. And so, so listen to that. And if you want an example, this is, I think, the perfect example of looking at the snake, confronting reality. Jake, have you ever been in a bar at like 2 a.m. and like all the lights come on?
Never. Never.
But you've heard of that happening.
I have heard of it happening.
And you go from, you know, think about loving the darkness because, you know, in
everybody
a bar,
I know who's been in a bar that late usually leaves with a hickey.
Right. the darkness and the whole environment there is sort of, to me, a metaphor for human existence. Like, there's lots of denial. There's, you know, we all think we're better looking than we are. We all think we're funnier than we are. We all think we're having a great time. We all think this place is super cool with great energy. And look at this decor. This is the, you know, New York's hottest club. Mm-hmm. And then the lights come on. And then it's like, the floors are sticky. What's that weird smell? I feel clammy, like this person I'm talking kissing? To actually looks terrible. Yeah, like, do I look that bad? And you just look around and you see sort of the, you know, the humanity of it all. And this is like, now you've moved from an illusion, which was very fun, but an illusion, to reality. But now that you're in reality, you can see things more clearly. And that's what this is about. And what you do see, you may not see this in a bar when the lights come on at 2 a.m., but when the light comes on, for us, it's the gracious, non-judgmental, saving, loving grace of God, Christ on the cross for us. So that'll do it for Lent 4.
Yeah. Well, hey, next. And if you want to see a live recording of the Mockingcast, I want to invite you all to join us for the New York conference April 25th through the 27th, 2024. Go to
less than a month away.
Yeah, man. It's good. Yeah,
or no, just over is, a month. Mm-hmm. Well, when but you anyway, listen to this,
we'll it'll be praise close. The Lord.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great conference, St. George's Church and in New York City. So be there or be square.
Yeah. We'll both be there. So go to ember.com, sign up today. And if you go, you'll get to hear stories of when Jake's friends were in bars at 2 a.m. when the lights come on.
Mm-hmm. And there Jesus was in the corner with a cigarette. And he was like, I see you.
Actually, there's a song by Mick Jagger where Jesus is like the protagonist of the song meets Jesus. He goes looking for Buddha, but he finds Jesus, and Jesus is like smoking a cigarette. It's a great song. Mm. All right. Well, that'll end it. Happy Lent.
Till next time.
Somebody's looking. Somebody cares. Somebody wonders what you're doing today. You know, we crucified him, buried him, but 3 days later, well, the stone got rolled away.
And yes, thanks for listening to Same Old Song. Hope you found some gospel nuggets for the pulpit or for your life. If you like what you heard, leave a review or rating in Apple Podcasts. Dave Zoll will be sad if you don't. Thanks to TJ Hester for audio production, and remember to keep that Bible by your bedside, ready to rock and roll.